What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
I got a feeling, woo-woo, that this morning's going to be a good morning. I got a feeling.
You mean it hasn't been so far?
No, it's been a real good day.
Okay, all right. There's some people just starting their day, and good for them. But we've been doing this for a while this morning.
3 hours in the books, one to go. 60 minutes separate us from the end of a Monday show. I got a feeling that the National Football League is about to change a little bit. Those of you that over the past handful of years have lamented the fact that the NFL has lost its toughness, lost its physicality, lost its grittiness, I think that you're about to get your wish. I think, courtesy of the Philadelphia Eagles, I think you're about to see a shift in the philosophy that National Football League teams undertake to build their rosters. I think the last couple of years, you have seen a shift in philosophy to teams going out there and trying to stack the deck with skill position talent. I think the last couple of years, you saw teams go out and make the plays for the great quarterbacks. I think you've seen the teams go out and make the plays for all of the big names at wide receiver and at running back and defensive back and all of that. And I think the last couple of years, you have seen a shift away from teams trying to be dominant at the line of scrimmage. And I got a feeling that Philadelphia may have changed that philosophy last night. If Philly walked out of there with a 24-23, 1-point late victory, maybe walk it off on a tush push or something like that, then we may not be having this conversation. But it was the fact that Philadelphia dominated that game last night. And they dominated that game, as we have pointed out a couple of times this morning, as will every other goober with a microphone today. They dominated this game at the point of attack. They dominated this game by having to blitz zero times. They got 9 quarterback hurries in this game. Patrick Mahomes was 3-6 against a hurry up, and 2 of those were picks. The Philadelphia Eagles last night won this game by winning at the line of scrimmage and giving Jalen Hurts time to play in the pocket. And also, when the pocket did collapse, ordinarily 3 or more seconds into the play, by having the pocket collapse internally, which meant that Jalen Hurts had running lanes available. The pass blocking scheme of the Philadelphia Eagles was not just to create a clean pocket around Jalen Hurts. It was to create a clean pocket around Jalen Hurts with a run lane option open at any given moment. And Jalen Hurts was taking full advantage of that. On the flip side of the ball, and this is something that I think was impacted by the way that the Eagles offense worked and the way that they got out to a quite hot start. The Kansas City Chiefs did not run the ball last night. And when I say didn't run the ball, I mean like hardly at all did they not run the ball last night. Patrick Mahomes had the most carries on this team last night. Patrick Mahomes had 4 carries. Kareem Hunt had 3. Isaiah Pacheco had 3. Samaje Perine had 1. They had 7 carries of the football by players who were not Patrick Mahomes last night. Why was that? Because Philadelphia early in this game, I'm going to start with this, because I genuinely believe after watching this game, Kansas City came into this game thinking, something I told you a bunch of times last week, that they can get pressure without running the blitz. I pointed out a number of times that the blitz rate for the Eagles was 13th in the league. 13th. It felt like it was higher than that. But Vic Fangio doesn't blitz all that much. Vic Fangio, the defensive coordinator for the Eagles, blitzes if and only if his defense is not getting pressure on the quarterback and they're getting diced. I think Kansas City came into this football game last night with the game plan of, until they start blitzing, we believe in Patrick Mahomes' ability to extend plays, get outside of the pocket, and improvise us into greatness. And instead, what happened on the first 2 Kansas City drives was that the Eagles' pass rush, which had 0 blitzes involved in it, actually, I don't think they blitzed in this game at all. I think that's the wildest stat. 0 blitz. Didn't have to. They created so much havoc that Mahomes was running for his life from a 4-man pass rush. And so Kansas City, I think, came into this going, we're going to throw the ball. We're going to throw a lot because we do not believe that their pass rush without a blitz is going to be able to limit, stop Patrick Mahomes. And what happened was they did. And by the time the Chiefs were able to look and recognize that Philadelphia was owning the line of scrimmage with the defensive line and that they were going to have to run the ball, they were down 17-0, and every drop of momentum at that point, every drop of momentum belonged to the Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles won that game. We can talk about A.J. Brown, 3 catches, including a big tutty. We can talk about Jalen Hurts and the fact that he has now had 2 Super Bowl appearances and has played exceptionally well in both of them, 1-1 in those Super Bowls. We can talk about that. But if you want to talk about where it was and how it was that the Philadelphia Eagles won this game, the answer is the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. That's where they won and lost this game. So, to me, when you look at the draft classes the general manager Howie Roseman has put together so far for the Eagles over the past couple of years, they have dominated it by doing 2 things. Number 1, they go get the best players from the best college football programs. This is why there's the joke right now about the Philadelphia Bulldogs, because they got like 9 Georgia guys on there. Why is that? Because they go get the best players from the best programs, and over the past 5 or 6 years, The University of Georgia has been the best football program in college football. So they bring guys out of it. They got a bunch of Alabama guys, including their quarterback and their number two wide receiver. Why? Because for a bunch of years, Alabama was the best football team in college football. They go get the best dudes from the best programs. And the second thing they do in their path to nailing the draft is they get big and they get good linemen on both sides of the football. They get Jalen Carter. They get Josh Sweat. They go get Milton Williams. They go get guys, edge rushers, defensive linemen, offensive linemen that are big and are talented, because that is a position that isn't sexy in the draft. How many of you, with the exception of guys that are picked inside the top five, how many of you have watched your NFL team with a late first round or a second round pick draft an offensive guard, draft a defensive nose tackle, and you're like, I gotta get on Twitter and celebrate this pick right now? Not very many of you. They're not sexy picks. And unfortunately, a lot of general managers and owners have the mentality of, let's go get the sexy guys out of college. That's a weird way to phrase that, and I regret it. Let's go get the wide receivers. Let's go get the quarterbacks. Let's go get the running backs. Let's go get the defensive backs, the cornerbacks. Let's go get the guys at the positions that sell jerseys. And we'll worry about the offensive linemen, the defensive linemen later. The Philadelphia Eagles have taken the opposite track. And I think what got proven last night above all else was that even in the NFL, even at the highest level of American football played on the face of planet Earth, even when every NFL player, yes, even that one that you think stinks, is in the top 1% of football players on planet Earth to have ever lived, physicality still wins. Dominating at the line of scrimmage still wins. The Eagles put together, even with the loss of Jason Kelce, a guy that his teammates called the heart and soul of that team, the locker room leader of that team. Even without Jason Kelce, because he stepped away and retired, the Philadelphia Eagles still had what many of us consider to be the best offensive line in American football this year. They have spent the last couple of years building up what might be the best defensive line in football. I think the best defensive tackle in football is Chris Jones. What did Chris Jones do last night? Not much. Why? Because the Eagles' offensive line attacked him at the line of scrimmage. They did not play back and away from him and allow him to dictate the game. They got after him from the opening frame forward. And that guy was a non-factor. The best defensive lineman, arguably in the entire National Football League, was not a factor last night. On the flip side, the Chiefs' offensive line, and we can chalk it up to injuries. They've had a lot of them the last 2 years. We can chalk it up to the injury bug. The reality is the Chiefs' offensive line got manhandled last night. The Eagles' defensive front seven was in charge of that game from snap one to final whistle. That's why the Chiefs lost. So, when I look at Philly, there have been some Super Bowl champions that you go, that's a pretty good team. I don't necessarily know we need to emulate them. I don't necessarily think we need to try to carbon copy them. I don't necessarily think we need to try to imitate them. I think we can all acknowledge that's a good football team, and we're just going to go do our thing and try to compete with them. Every now and then, there is a football team that you look and you go, That's the philosophy we have to adapt. And I think Philly is the most recent case of that. See, you talk about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs the last 2 years. Do you know why nobody could say we got to have that philosophy and we got to emulate them? Because you can't. You can't emulate Kansas City unless you got Patrick Mahomes. You ain't got Patrick Mahomes. Nobody does. You know why the New England Patriots were so good for so long and nobody said, let's try to emulate them? Because they had Tom Brady and nobody else has Tom Brady. If you had Tom Brady, you'd just do that. I will say this about the New England Patriots over the last couple of years. I think I got to give credit to the Chiefs for this to some degree as well. You know what the Patriots did? Aside from getting Tom Brady to take like a $75 million pay cut down the stretch to give...
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
More guys, more money. The Patriots did something that we used to point out then, and I'll continue to point it out now. The Patriots did not invest in top-notch skill position talent. This is why I've said a gazillion times in my radio career. When you look at the wide receivers that Tom Brady played with, you got a season with Randy Moss. That went real well. Not sarcastic. It went really well. But you look at the wide receivers that he played with, and by and large, you got what? You got Deion Branch thrown in there, Wes Welker, Julian Edelman. I mean, good players. None of them necessarily feel like all-timers. Why not? Because the Patriots knew where the moneymaker was. It was the guy wearing number 12. And so where did the Patriots put all their money in their salary cap rotation? On his offensive line. They said, if Tom Brady is going to continue to be Tom Brady, we have to provide the environment for him to be Tom Brady. How is Tom Brady Tom Brady? When he's got the opportunity to walk up to the line of scrimmage, look at, diagnose the defense, get a read on who's going where, and then when the ball is snapped, stand in the pocket, look down the field, watch DBs rotate and cover and jump man-to-man routes and bump and run on the outside and blah, 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 and go, ooh, I was right about that. And fire that football down there. Brady had time because the Patriots put their money into the offensive line. I think Jalen Hurts is a good passing quarterback. And I'm going to say this. He dropped a couple of absolute dimes last night. There's a couple of throws that Jalen Hurts makes very well. Jalen Hurts might be the best sideline out route thrower in the National Football League. For whatever reason, this dude is just exceptional at finding an out-cutting wide receiver and putting the ball on the dot. He is also very good at throwing the long ball in stride. You had the fourth down conversion to A.J. Brown that came off the board because of the offensive pass interference, which, by the way, good call, okay? I made a couple of jokes on Twitter early about how, oh, we're just going to go ahead and get the controversy started on the opening drive. Why not? Let's have some fun. But when they came back and they showed the second angle from the end zone they were running to, very clearly, punch hands in the face. They're going to call that 100% of the time. No problem. That ball was a dime. He had another over-the-corner drop to A.J. Brown later in the game. That was a dime as well. You know why he this year has been so good at dropping those long distance bombs into the breadbasket? Because he's not under pressure. Because he can stand back there and take and make a throw. And I think, unlike the Chiefs, who you can't emulate because they have Mahomes and you don't, unlike the Patriots that you can't emulate because they had Brady and you don't, you can emulate having a Jalen Hurts. You can emulate the Eagles. How do you do it? You draft defensive linemen, you draft offensive linemen, and you fill in the skill positions with free agents from all that money that you save by having all your starters, nine of them last night, playing on rookie contracts. The Eagles have just started a trend where I think NFL teams are going to go back to focusing on owning the line of scrimmage. Those of you that say football has lost its toughness and its grit, you can thank the Philadelphia Eagles because you're about to get it back. We're about to be back on the Rob Brown Show after this. It's the Fan Upstate. I was telling Lonzo during the break that last Friday, I got inspired. Like once a month, I'm like, you know what? I'm actually going to be a hard worker today. Got inspired. Went home after the show on Friday. Did my post-show work. The lady friend and I have had some family stuff we've been having to take care of over the last couple of weeks. So Friday, after I did the work stuff, and we've kind of gotten to the point where that situation had come to a head, I didn't really have a lot to do. I decided I was going to finally hang a, I wanted to get a two monitor setup. For those of you that don't know, on my Saturday show, Bet for the Cycle, which airs from noon to four on the Bet MGM Network with myself and former Major League Baseball player Cody Decker. You're welcome for your Saturday plans from now on. I had been using my two laptops, my personal laptop, and then I ran the show off of my work laptop. The problem with that was, in just having those two laptops, I had to put whatever games were going on Saturday over on the big TV, and if I wanted to watch them, I had to turn, and so the viewing audience on Bet for the Cycle was looking at the side of my head, so I said, you know, I want to hang multiple monitors on the wall. Long roundabout story was, after doing the research, I decided instead of hanging a dedicated computer monitor on the wall or monitors on the wall, I was just going to get myself another flat screen. So I went and got myself a 35-inch flat screen, get it for like $100 at Costco. Good ones too. It's the same brand as my 75-inch, which I love. So I got myself a new TV monitor and I hung it on, or a new TV, and I hung it on the wall. HDMI'd in so I can use it as a computer to monitor when I'm doing shows, or at night I can have it as another TV. So I set the whole thing up and I did that on Friday. Saturday rolled around. I did the show until 4, got off the air. The lady friend comes into the bro cave and she's like, I thought you were getting a computer monitor. I was like, well, if I plug this cord into it, it becomes a computer monitor. And she says, it looks to me like you just felt the need to have 6 televisions in this room. And I went, that's also correct. That is also exactly what happened. I now have 6 TVs in the bro cave. And I thought I was at a stopping spot. I was like, all right, that's enough. I got the 75-inch. Then on big game days, like as we get towards basketball conference tournament and into March Madness, you know, especially first round of March Madness where there's like 3 blocks of, what, 12 games at a time going on, I will move the bedroom TV in, the guest room TV in, so I'll have the 75-inch, I'll have a 45-inch, a 42-inch, now there's a 35-inch on the wall, a little 30-inch that goes down on the floor, 2 laptops, a tablet, and my cell phone if necessary. I got more screens than is on at any given point. And Lonzo, I thought I was done. I'm like, that's enough. That's enough screens in the room. There will never be a point in time, even in day one, round one of March Madness, there will never be a point in time where I am utilizing all of these screens at once. And so I was telling Lonzo this story during the break, right? Hey, I got my setup now. Probably start doing a couple more broadcasts from the crib because now I got the whole studio set up, the mic, the mixing board, the soundproofing, the TV monitor, whatever. And Lonzo goes, oh, can you do one of those things where you like have all the monitors on the wall and you turn them into one big screen? And now I want to go back to Costco, buy four more 35 inches, build a six screen square on the wall, and figure out what software do I need to download. I will take everything else off that wall to build myself a like 200 inch massive one screen made of seven screen screen.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with that. If you have the wherewithal to do such a thing, I think you are obligated to try.
Here's the problem. As I was shopping, the one thing that for a long while has stopped me from making the shift and hanging another big screen on the wall was the mounting process. Because on the wall behind where my studio setup is, I have like floating shelves all over the place. One has all the South Carolina Broadcasters Association trophies on it. One has...
You left room, right?
No, I have another shelf ready to go.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I kind of want to be like the the 70 Steelers. I want to have to put up a whole new hardware closet.
I hope that shelf doesn't end up dusty.
No, me too. I have one that has all our trophies on it. I have one that has like my favorite collector's toys that I've carried around. Right, I got like some original Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle action figures still in the box, mint, like some of that. One has office stuff. It's got like a cup with all my pens in it, and then my stapler, like my for when I have to actually work shelf. I took all of them down and moved them to hang a new TV monitor. Turns out, and this is my favorite part, now Great One, they make TV wall mounts that you don't have to find a stud in the wall for anymore. I know, that was my reaction.
What kind of magic is this?
It's, I assume, black magic. So this one, it's a metal strip that's almost as long as the TV itself, mm-hmm. right? You put it against the wall, and across the whole bar, it has tiny little holes for little tiny nails. And so you put like 15 nails, little nails, like little bitty nails, but 15 plus across this metal bar. And then the bracket that hangs on the TV just kind of slides down in. And basically, because nerds, they figured out how to distribute the weight of the TV across a way wider section of the wall. So this thing basically, without having to screw into the mount, leans and puts all the weight onto where the mounts are and supports your TV. And it can do up to like a 55-inch TV. So I own a 35. It can hang up to a 55, which I got to tell you, made me reevaluate. Do I bring the 35 back and go get a 55-inch and hang on the wall and have a 55-inch computer monitor? I didn't do that. But what I want to do now, that hanging the TV is now just about like hammering 15... like, pow, pow, that nail's in, pow, pow, that nail's in, into a wall. Now I think, don't tell my wife this, now I think I'm going to Costco later this week to buy, legitimately, this one's serious, to buy three more of the same TV, and I'm going to build one giant square to use as my, like, my big-time workstation. And if that's the case, Great One, you may never see me in person again. I mean, I just may live in that room. I may do this show from that room, show from the room. I may do them all from the room.
There's some advantages to that. I think that counts. You cut yourself off.
No, I wasn't saying anything.
Yeah, but
I cut myself off because I was about to hack a lung up into our audience's ear.
Okay, all right. So it was tactical. It would be quieter in here. That's all I can say. It would be quieter. So you should have pointed out to her the YouTube TV commercial. Did you see that one?
Which one?
The one with that started off in medieval times, leading all the way up to where it was, including the dude took a flail to the head, and then the last thing was him having the multi-screen look with YouTube TV.
I did not see that.
Yeah, you should look that up. The flail to the head was messed up.
I did tell her. So we decided, just because of a family situation, which we'll get into later this week, because of a family situation, she and I yesterday couldn't go out to a Super Bowl party. So we just watched it at the house. And when we were settling in, we had to watch it out in the living room for certain reasons. We had to watch it out in the living room. And I told her, like, after the third quarter, I was like, bro, the Bro Cave's going to be so good for games like this. She's why. I was like, because I think I'm going to go get three more of those TVs and I'm going to link them up in a big square on the wall. And she said, that seems unnecessary. And I said, totally is, but I think I'm going to do it anyway. She said, that makes sense.
I mean, when you're a kid and you see those sort of things on movies, you're always like, man, that would be so cool if I could do that. And if you have, again, the
you see those as a kid and not as a 40-year-old.
Well, what I'm saying is, you can point out this is a lifelong dream. You know, when I was a kid, I always dreamed of having this. Now I have the ability to do this. Don't you want me to fulfill my dream? I'm trying to give you some angles.
No, I got it. Yeah. I got it.
When I was a kid, you would have to stack those TVs on top of each other.
Yeah, when Lonzo was a kid, he was also the remote.
and the antenna sometimes.
Yeah. When I was a kid, there was a restaurant down in Fort Walton Beach, Florida called Damon's. And this restaurant was like a rib place meets steak bar. A sports bar.
If I recall, the Damon's was a national chain.
Was it? I have no idea.
I think they had those in Ohio.
So there was a place called Damon's. No idea if it was a chain or not. But what I know was Damon's was my and my little brother's favorite place in the world to go. And Damon's was built like stadium style. So there were like levels where tables were, and they all faced in one direction, and the entire restaurant wall of Damon's was just a gazillion TVs. But for games like the Super Bowl or whatever, and this was way ahead of a time, this had to be in like the mid to late 90s, for games like the Super Bowl, they would turn all of those screens into one giant monitor, right? Like into one giant TV. And so if you went in there for a national championship game, or you went in there for a Super Bowl, or you went in there for whatever, instead of having a bunch of stuff on, as they usually did, like you could go in there. My dad used to take me in there for baseball games. And like every baseball game in Major League Baseball would be on a screen somewhere. And they had first place. I don't know where I have this core memory. First place, they ever had a sound box at the table. Right? It, like, attached to the table, and they had numbers, like 1 through 12, and you could click that thing to which screen you wanted the sound. A speaker was at the table. So it is not even that much of a joke to say that ever since childhood, I have always wanted a wall to watch sport. Like, I want to watch sports on the whole wall. My brother-in-law got me because I told him this not terribly long ago, he got me a projector that you can hook your laptop into, that you can make a whole wall. And I'm like, this is awesome. I've used it a couple of times. It looks great. But it's not having a wall that's one big TV screen. And now, I think, unfortunately, after setting up one on the wall and Lonzo putting this idea in my head, I think my next project is going to be, at the start, hang three more and just have one 100-inch TV hanging up there. Or do I just suck it up and buy a 100-inch TV? Because that's at Costco now, too. And it's dope. I don't know. We'll figure it out back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. All right. We have talked quite a bit about Super Bowl licks. We will continue that conversation on tomorrow's show as well. Doubtless, we will talk about Super Bowl licks throughout the week. Once licks happen, you never forget about it. You're going to talk about that for the rest of your life. So we will talk about Super Bowl licks a little bit more in detail as the show goes on. There are some more things that I wanted
to
get here.
You said that for like 2 weeks, and I never saw the logo till yesterday.
That it literally says Super Bowl
licks?
Yeah,
I never saw the logo because I just wasn't
looking
at it.
Where do you think I got that from?
No, you explained what it was, but I just had never seen the logo.
I really like the logo, by the way. It's a good logo this year. Good logo.
People making fun of Fox's.
The Scorebucks sucked.
Yeah, it was not.
Scorebucks sucked.
It was not good.
Sorry, Fox. I appreciate you trying something. I appreciate you trying to get outside of the box a little bit. But you need to know sometimes we're in a box because we really like the box.
Yeah, I didn't like their graphics. I didn't like anything. It just was not.
I thought the logo was good. I thought the presentation of the game was good. I had two complaints about it. Complaint number one was the score bug was just, James just popped in and said the minimalism was appreciated, but I will say this, I am, when it comes to my sports broadcast, and not very many other places in my life, I'm absolutely a minimalist. You know what score bug I like? I like when it's a real small lower third that's just like the bottom, like 4 pixels of the screen. Just a little one. That was so big and so bold. And by using the 3 letters or the 2 letters of PHI and KC and making them white and stand out, like, you couldn't help but your eye traveling down to them every now and then. I don't want a distracting score bug. It was a distracting score bug. Use the logos. Use a color that blends in so they're not distracting. Just give me a lower third that's not in the way.
So you've been in that stadium before?
1,000 times.
Okay, so are the screens as big as I think they are? I'm talking about the end zone screens.
Yes, those were upgraded.
Because a couple of times, I'm pretty sure Jalen Hurts avoided being sacked because he looked at the screen. If you look at him, he is looking directly at the screen and seeing someone coming, a Kansas City Chief coming from behind him, and then he takes off.
Yeah, I've heard interviews before. I'm trying to remember who it was, but I heard a podcast with a former quarterback a while back, maybe a couple of years back. But they talked about how Jumbotrons in stadiums are kind of like your best friend if you're under pressure, right? He's like, I can look down the field for wide receivers breaking, and if I get to that internal clock in my head, who the hell was it? I don't remember. It was one of the older quarterbacks. Was it Cunningham? I don't remember one of them. But they said as the Jumbotrons got progressively bigger, that they could look down the field looking for a wide receiver to come open, and they could dart their eye up to the Jumbotron to see if anybody was close, right? And he's like, once that internal clock hits 3 seconds, which is where a quarterback says, well, Mississippi 2, Mississippi 3, now I got to deliver the football or start worried about scrambling and getting rid of it. He said when those Jumbotrons got big enough, it kind of started to get to a point where you could look for wide receivers and then you could glance up at the Jumbotron, just dart your eyes up and see, okay, there's nobody near me. I got another second and then I can check it again. There have been plenty of special teams guys that have pointed out that, like, when I'm running down the field, I'll watch myself on the Tron. That way if a defender's coming up and they're going to try to, you know, that grab and come over the top and hammer the ball out, I can tuck that thing away right before they do it. There's been a lot of them that have said that those Jumbotrons absolutely come into play, which is kind of interesting because in all the new stadiums, what are they doing with the Jumbotrons? They're now above the field, right? Like, you don't have a lot in the new stadiums. You don't have end zone jumbos anymore. Those Jumbotrons are being hung on the roof. In Dallas, you got the world's biggest scoreboard that's like the length of the field. In Atlanta, you got the ring. In SoFi in LA, you've got the ring. And the rings are cool because they have video boards on the inside and outside of them, right? And the Clippers' new arena, if you haven't seen videos from the Clippers, the Intuit Dome, it's actually really cool. They built the ring up there, but they actually made it like interactive. So like one of the things they had, I saw this not too long ago, was they have the players film up on that ring throwing a t-shirt. And as they rear back and throw the t-shirt on the video, so a t-shirt will shoot out of the back of the scoreboard and go out in the crowd. Like, they've made these things super technologically forward. I do wonder what impact it has on the game for guys that have maybe gotten used, especially guys that, you know, in their home stadium. Like, Derek Carr's got that big-ass Jumbotron behind both end zones that he can get used to looking at now. What happens when he goes to SoFi and that edge isn't there anymore, right? Like, I don't know when I'm getting rushed because I can't dart my eyes up to a huge TV to see. It's interesting. Texter says, having played in college, if the screens don't have a delay, we absolutely use them. Yeah, no doubt. It's a tool. It's a resource. Why would you not? There was a lot of takes on social media last night. Great one. The fact that Taylor Swift got shown on the Jumbotron and she got booed in the Superdome. And people are like, uh-oh, has America turned on Taylor? People, you've not met Eagles fans.
True.
They booed and threw debris at Santa Claus. You think Taylor Swift is getting away with it when Santa Claus caught an L at an Eagles game at home? Santa came on the field and caught the Boo Birds and had batteries chucked at him. If Santa is catching the heat, you think Tay-Tay is getting out of there unscathed? Absolutely not. That is not a referendum on America's views on Taylor Swift. That's a referendum on Eagles fans are jerks and they embrace it. Love you, James.
I've seen quite a few things pop up this morning saying that, showing Travis leaving by himself.
I did see that. There was no, I'm so sorry,
but I think
sweeties.
She left early, actually. So,
oh, I have no doubt they wanted her out of there early.
Well, maybe she left early because of traffic.
I'm not saying because of the Chiefs losing. I'm saying if you have never been down there, and I say this as somebody who absolutely loves the city, the traffic pattern around the Superdome is ass. It's bad. Like, when I go to Saints games, you just plan. You're there all day. Because the traffic, there is one street that goes all the way around. Poitras goes all the way around the Superdome. And, like, at every corner, there's one road out. And the parking lot for the Dome is right there. It is atrocious to get in and out of there. So my suspicion is, especially when it became obvious in the mid-third quarter that the Chiefs are not coming back, the Chiefs are losing this game, when it became obvious that the Birds fans were going to be drunk Birds fans in New Orleans, getting her and everybody else the hell out of there was the right decision.
So I made the mistake while we were discussing this of leaving my ex. A Dua Lipa video showed up, and now there's like 25 in a row. I hate how these algorithms work. So I just found a construction one. Leaving it on the construction one so I can see a bunch
see
of
how
construction.
That out.
Yeah, just,
see how
just,
out?
Just to do that. I saw him look up at the screen at least twice, and both times he avoided being sacked. And it was that close. And I think those screens really helped him. And shout out to him for being smart enough to look up there and go,
yeah,
hey, oh, that guy's getting ready to hit me. Let me move out of the way.
If you are presented with an opportunity to create an advantage for yourself and you don't take it, you're a fool. And I'm not just talking about football. I'm talking about life in general. If something presents an advantage, an opportunity to you, and you pass on it, you're a fool. You are hurting yourself and no one else. I mean, now, if that advantage comes at the cost of hurting someone else, that's one thing. But if it doesn't hurt anybody else for you know, Jalen Hurts to look up the board and go, uh-oh, here comes Chris Jones. I better get up out of here.
So is the Chiefs narrative dead about the refs, or will it still be there come September when the first game rolls around?
It's still going to be there, and the reason it's still going to be there, and I can go ahead and get this one set up for you for next year so you can be mentally prepared for it. It's still going to be there. What they're going to say is the Eagles whipped the Chiefs so early that the refs went, whoa, 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 we can't help here, so we're just going to get out of the way.
They made a controversial call both ways, and then, or what was considered controversial by the announcers, and then they kind of disappeared. I mean, there was some other calls for false starts and things like that, but they kind of disappeared and let Patrick Mahomes get the mess beat out of
you. You brought up the score bug, and I said I had two problems with the presentation last night, and only two problems. The score bug was one. You know what the other one was? Tom Brady's not good.
He's not.
He's not good, he's guys. Not. I love Tom Brady. He's the GOAT. And I think that was solidified to some degree last night. He's the GOAT. He's not good on color. He just says what's happening. Or, you know, Mahomes rolls out and he's looking for somebody, nobody opens, so he kind of throws it to the sideline.
I think Tony Romo does the same thing, but just with a different level of excitement. So,
I think, I don't think
enthusiasm makes it more acceptable for
it
some
does.
Reason.
Well, it's not even that excitement. It's that Brady's monotone when he's excited. Hey, he rolls out to the right and he's just looking for somebody, but there's nobody out there, Jim, so he just kind of throws the ball off into the crowd and he's going to want that way. Like, it's just monotone through. Romo used to be better, but they reined my guy back in and I won't stand for it. Hashtag free Romo. Hilarious that I hated Romo the player, love him as a broadcaster, love Brady the player, hate him as a broadcaster.
By the way, the chasing of Tom Brady, that's still happening. Because Tom Brady lost three Super Bowls. Now
Yeah, Mahomes ain't done.
Yeah, I mean,
Mahomes
it's not.
Has been to more Super Bowls at his age than Brady had been to at the same age. He's not done. The only question mark is, can the Chiefs keep it together the way the Patriots did? Which is not a guarantee.
We'll see. They lose players all the time, and I mean, it's the business. All right, the first.
You guys drafted 9 offensive linemen this year?
I hope so.
You better.
Yeah. All right. The first thing X-ing, these are all Super Bowl related, by the way. First thing X-ing is Vince McMahon.
Vince McMahon was at the Super Bowl along with, I don't know if he was with Shano or if Shano just happened to be there as well. I only had one takeaway from that. First off, Vince McMahon's a gross person and he should go away and shouldn't be welcomed.
I didn't think it was him, though. Did you see how skinny?
Yeah, he looks awful.
Yeah.
Vince is a bad person, and every time that anybody walks past him for the rest of his life, you should boo him. Number two, forget all of the away from the ring thing. Did you see The Undertaker last night?
Mm-hmm.
It just looks like generic dude. And I don't know what I expected. I think it was like the 8-year-old in me came to the surface, but I'm like, where's your like big back trench coat, man?
Yeah,
like,
he has said.
He's Mark Calloway now, and I just have to accept
he
that.
He has said The Undertaker is dead and buried.
Yeah, I know.
And to do the character justice, he cannot bring it back.
That's fair.
I am looking forward to the new show with it's basically the Tough Enough.
Yeah.
You haven't seen the previews for
I
that?
I have not.
You need to look that up. It's him and Booker T, Bubba Ray, and Mickey James, I think.
Word?
All right. The next thing that's X-ing is Anne Hathaway.
Anne Hathaway, who I guess is a big Philly fan, was at the Super Bowl last night, got caught on camera celebrating like she was an Eagle, and I believe wiping tears away late in the game. I'm going to say this. I hate Eagles fans as a whole. They're all, like, as a group, they're violent and they're vulgar and they're mean and they're nasty, and I don't like them. As individuals, Eagles fans are awesome.
They kept showing her, and she seemed like all alone up there, which was weird.
Yeah, I
like,
don't
is
think.
Is no one with Anne Hathaway? She just decided to come by herself?
Yeah, I think Anne Hathaway was one of the few celebrities that goes as a football fan, right? At least for the Birds. There's a lot of celebrities that are just there because, hey, I'm a celebrity and I get to go to the Super Bowl and I can afford it, right? You know what the average ticket price was last night? 5K.
Yeah.
5 guard to get in the door.
Yeah, that other thing was a totally different thing.
I think Anne Hathaway was not there as a celebrity who wants to get some screen time. I think she was there as a football fan. And I respect her for it.
All right. The next thing that's X-ing is Kellen Moore.
You know who I didn't see?
Who is still not your coach, by the way.
Not yet. He will be. You know who I didn't see? And I can't wait for his social media to pick up. Rob McElhenney. Big Birds guy. The guy that owns Wrexham with Ryan Reynolds, Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Big Birds guy. Him and his wife, Caitlin Olsen. Big Birds guys. I cannot wait to see what their celly was last night. Kellen Moore is X-ing because obviously he was the offensive coordinator who won the Super Bowl last night. He is, unless he gets sober and just looks at the Saints, going to be the head coach. But as long as nobody lets him sober up and actually look at my football team, he'll be my head coach next year.
All right. The next thing that's X-ing is Guy Gardner.
If Kellen Moore takes over the Saints and they're good in like a year, he automatically becomes like the dude, right?
He does.
Sean Payton did that.
It's not that hard. It shouldn't be that hard in the NFC South. But anyway, so
I did see what's his face?
Nathan Fillion.
Yeah, as Guy Gardner.
He's talking about, here's the bowl I'm looking forward to, and showing his bowl haircut, which I thought was hilarious. And finally, the last
it's comic book accurate.
It is.
Get
it
over
is
it.
Very. The last thing that's X-ing is the national anthem.
Jon Batiste. Lonzo, you and I have a discussion to have because about half the books in Vegas said it was a clear over and a couple of them said it was an under. He hit three home of the Braves on the end there. Three of them to get me to the over. I timed it. It was over. We said it was over. I told you it was over. Lonzo told you it was over. It was definitely over. And like half the books in Vegas counted as an under, and I won't stand for it. You guys have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being here. We'll come back tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show. And the Fan Upstate. Later!